To commemorate Heritage Month, VOC News interacts with prominent figures regarding the founding of Islam in the Cape and the critical necessity for Muslim education. Regarding this issue, we assess Sheikh Ismail Kiran's viewpoint on the historical background of Muslim education in Cape Town and its progression over time. This is what he had to say.
One can say that the Muslims brought to the Cape by the colonial system of the Dutch, it had such an unnerving impact on the colonial structure that the practice of Islam was actually banned for quite a long period of time. And this, of course, led to the germination of what is still happening today, the slums school, you know, the house madrasa. And you find it still up till today. And that was how the communal Islamic values and traditions and, of course, the theology, it was preserved, you know. And over time, up till today, it evolved into Muslim schools, your Islamia, your Muhammadiyya, your Rahmaniyya, your Douglas Road Primary School, etc., and many others, you know. And of course, that also evolved into what we have today, your Islamic tertiary institutions, your IPSI, your Medina Institute, the Usuluddin Institute of Majlis Shura, and so forth. And of course, you can actually do Islamic studies at university now, and so in Cape Town. So that is how it evolved, because it had such an historical impact, an unnerving impact that couldn't be stopped.
Sheikh further noted the vital role Muslim communities played in shaping the city's educational landscape and delved into how educational institutions in Cape Town contributed to the preservation and promotion of Islamic values and traditions.
It is because of the cohesiveness, especially born out of that unique, iconic place, District 6, you know, where the streets can be referred to as the passages and the houses, the rooms, so cohesive that community was, where when it was Maghrib, everybody was off the roads or off the streets, such was the respect. And that cohesiveness you will still find today, whether it is in your townships, whatever, and they played and are still playing a very important role in shaping the strategic educational landscape, in making Islam known, and also the intermarriages between people becoming Muslim and marrying in, etc., and so forth. Contribution in cash or kind towards establishing schools, establishing madrasas, Madaris, establishing or contributing towards the institutions that we have today, because it's all based as the basic core teaching of Islamic education is the Iqra, the reading with the mind of the language of nature, which means the subject areas, the learning areas, etc., which of course is over 900 ayat of the Quran, almost 1,000 almost, that speaks about all these subjects. So that is a core function, the preservation and of course the promotion of these Islamic values of justice, mercy, and how to use your Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given strength in a compassionate and merciful way to contribute as much value in terms of your social contract to the community.
He further responded to the current state of Muslim education in Cape Town, the challenges Muslim schools and institutions face, and how that is being addressed in terms of funding, infrastructure, and teacher training.
Teachers in the Muslim schools today or institutions, they have gone through the discipline of teaching colleges, doing their teaching diplomas or teaching degrees, your BEds, etc., and so forth. So it's that nice sort of nexus between the Islamic institution and, of course, can we call it the non-Islamic institution, which means the other institutions, but the cohesiveness and the collaboration and, of course, the ta'awun or the support of each other, you know, it is there, of course, right? And the balance between Islamic education, the question asked, with secular subjects. So I want to say there's no such thing in Islamic education as secular subjects, because everything is in the Quran. You know, whether the teacher, biology teacher, geography teacher, etc., is a Muslim, a non-Muslim, whatever, according to Islamic education, that person is busy with the Quran, because it is all based in the Quran. And the core principle around which it is based is, of course, the Iqra. And so the standard set has already been set, you know, by those pioneers in Cape Town, you know, the scholars that were banished, you know, to your Fori, to your Constantia, to the older crowd, etc., because they were seen as a very, very unnerving threat to the colonial status quo in terms of their intellectual capability and probably superiority over the invasive Dutch colonialists and so forth.
He shed light on the role Muslim educational institutions play in promoting social cohesion and community development in Cape Town, which has resulted in Islamic education being practiced widely and openly today.
Going back to the iconic manner and model of the of life in District 6, just take it during Ramadan, you know, the mass iftars, the taking away of food towards the neighbors, etc., the sadaqat given throughout the year, the looking after each other and so forth. So these institutions, they teach it, they foster it in terms of their curriculi and so forth. So definitely they play a big role in the social cohesion, community development, because after all, Islam stands for peace. Islam stands for cooperation towards goodness and taqwa and piety, and not cooperation towards enmity and towards transgression and so forth. So definitely, in terms of the Islamic educational heritage in Cape Town, it has played, it is playing, and inshallah in the future, it will be playing a very, very significant role in contributing value to the social, economic, political dispensation of our community.
Shaped by a tragic legacy of forced removals, Buta Nasir Isop, who is on the Al-Azhar Masjid Education Committee, explained to VOC News how the area contributed to the Muslim community in Cape Town.
From what I heard from the older people, from my father in particular, when the Bukab needed, or the settlement of the enslaved people or the victims of colonialism, then out of space in the Bukab, they extended into what is known now as District 6. What he always used to tell me is it used to be called Canal Dorp, because people who decided to build there, they used to ask people in the Bukab, can you Kanala come and help me to put up this building, etc. So it was actually built, right? Or the core of it was built on the concept of Kanala, please. All right? So that's just a by note. The thing is, with the settlement at the Cape, there was an amalgam of many, many different people, but they were united in their oppression. And these great variety of different people and languages and cultures, etc., again, were united through the religion of Islam. And then, also, I want to add, the people of other faiths and the Muslims cooperated, because essentially, it was still a singular community. For example, I never heard my father or my mother refer to anybody as a Christian means or a Christian person, right? I mean, I myself, I sang in Moravian church as a young child. You know, I went to Moravian primary school, and my mother or my father never said to me, oh, please do not go in the church, etc. So there was this energy of communal cohesion, and what came out of that is in fact a potency, right, they develop inside the consciousness of the people living in District 6. Therefore, you will note the level of talent that came out of District 6 was phenomenal. You know, there's Abdullah Ibrahim, Odola Brandt, right? Johar Musavo, Richard Reeves, and I can mention many. Sheikh Shakir Hamildin, you know, academics. Mr. Adams was the principal of Rahmania, and many, many really intelligent people. This became a threat because it was actually this colonialist space that became potent, because it's a culture that settled. It's people who developed
a true identity, okay, and also the culture of learning, saying, as donderdag aan, ek moet slumse school toe gaan, or there's a les by die school, op die en die occasion, of ons gaat daar so na Imam Simon, of Sheikh Shakir, or any other space. So there was a hunger for learning, and through this, it uplifted people. And this, it is my contention, this culture, this vibrancy, this intellectuality was entirely different to the understanding of Western academia, but it was extremely potent. So in the bigger picture, obviously we were observed, but by the same token, I also have to now mention there were also negative developments within, but the intensity even of the negative characters in District 6 was unique. And there was the Azavia and, you know, all of these institutions, right? Punjabi Pathan Society. And so it was perceived as potentially being the center from which will emerge an intellectual challenge, political, social challenge to the powers that were.
He further explained how the area was perceived as a threat to colonial forces due to the community's intellectual capacity and potential. He also details a personal experience of displacement in the area, which he describes as a disruption of a culture.
We have to understand that people like Tuanguru and all of these Karama, these learned people, they were top intellectuals internationally, because at that time Islam was the intellectual high point, and that high point and the players within that were removed from their spaces and delivered at the Cape. So this intellectual energy, right? Don't judge people because they couldn't speak English or they can't speak English like Oxford and like whatever, whatever. Judge them because of the quality with which they engaged life. You know, my personal experience of displacement. The one day I was playing in the street with my friends that I grew up with in Freer Street in District 6, like normal. I didn't note the activities at my house. The next morning, or the evening of the next day, I was standing at the gate at the house, newly built house in Grassy Park, where there was not even a blade of grass. And the roads were white. I was completely disoriented, completely. And then I went to a school out in Grassy Park where there were like 5 or 6 Muslim people in a completely alien environment. So if I took my personal experience and I projected, and I imagine all the young people, I'm not going to talk about the older people, I'm not going to talk about all the people that died moving to Mitchell's Plain and Lentig here, you know, in the first month or two that they were there. I realized people die, that's normal, but I also realized there are deep disturbances within the consciousness of people if they are displaced from a space that has become their own and with which they identify without even thinking about it. So this displacement was not necessarily because they needed the space. On the contrary, it was a disruption of a culture. People that started forming into the potential nation that emerged in South Africa, because truly we were the most potent of the members of the society in South Africa.
Lastly, detail the role the Muslim community played in shaping District 6's history and explained how the Muslim community has preserved its heritage in Cape Town so far.
I would say there were all kinds of people, but the majority of people were Muslims. And people who reverted or who became conscious of truth were more in District 6 than anywhere else. Because what young people saw, look, we were all poor. There were very few people who were wealthy, and wealthy at that time meant you have food for a week. These people, they experienced hospitality, nice way in which the Muslim conducted themselves at that time, and they were attracted to it. So it gave rise, like for example, my mother, my family, half of my family is Christian people. My mother's uncles, etc. My grandfather was the only one of her family that became a Muslim. And that was the norm in District 6 or Buka, in other words. So, and then also, I've never heard my father or my mom telling me, and I say by default, I take this as the norm, right? We went to spend holidays with Uncle Freddy, them and Auntie Maud and blah, blah, blah. And never once did they tell me, look out what you're eating, delay, or do whatever. None, nothing like that. Because they knew respect from any other group can be expected with confidence. So it gave rise to a community, right, that was really vibrant, tolerant, you know, productive. You know, so in other words, I certainly feel it was a great space. In fact, I always say, if you wanted to make a series or a movie of District 6, it's impossible. It was far, far too vibrant and far, far too many faceted to put it down into a novel. Richard Reeves attempted, okay, it's a great, great novel that he wrote, okay, Buckingham Palace, District 6, but that was only like peep through a pinhole into what was actually District 6.
I must be honest with you, in the so-called poorer spaces, so-called poorer and marginalized spaces on the Cape Flats, places like Hanover Park, Menenberg, Mitchell's Plain, Heideveld, Bondheuvel, you find really vibrant original culture still.
So if one asks, in other words, what happened to these people? Why is the Cape Flats, particularly in this condition, and we can work our way back to the original project, and that was to destroy, interrupt a culture that was on its way to become this wonderful culture. And then through this whole process, and it's many faceted, it's very dynamic, it resulted in people becoming less than themselves. So I'm afraid to say, by and large, we fail to preserve the culture. The Deen of Islam has kept us together.
For VS News, I'm Kirtha Sambo.